In our community is our focus this week as we talk with Sherry Hubbard. She is the Director of Communications for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. You're going to learn a lot about what they're doing. And then I've got Kimberly Nelson. She's the Executive Director for the Pregnancy Center of Gadsden County. So you're going to learn a lot about what's going on over there in Gadsden County. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Thank you, my friend, for joining me again on this fine occasion when we have opportunity to talk about the things that people in Tallahassee, people like you and me, are talking about. And really, we're talking about the other, the larger, the real Tallahassee, which, if you think about it, is more like five counties. So then that gets up to where, you know, you're talking a 500,000 people talking about all kinds of stuff, particularly this time of year. We're focused on the needs of families struggling against hunger, and it happens, and it's a blight. It is this nagging problem that Leon County faces and the region faces. Been better since you've had organizations afoot like Second Harvest, and Sherry will be with us in the second hour. She'll talk at length about what they're doing, a lot of innovative sort of things. I mean, but you're talking about an organization that in their capacity serves 11 counties. Wow. 11 counties. The Big Bend area, for that matter, is largely agrarian, isn't it? We know that. Which is, you know, in some respects, a sort of euphemistic way of saying poor people. Because our history is just that. I mean, we are characterized by a couple of hundred years or so of, you know, land owners and people owners who farmed cotton principally. And, you know, that economy was built on the backs of slaves. Fact. And it is, in fact, then the descendants of those people who worked further as sharecroppers and eventually as maybe owners of land who then were working tobacco farms and yes, cotton and other crops, right? The cash crops were the, you know, the cotton and the tobacco. Well, think about that. Gadsden County alone represented some of the most lucrative, you know, shade leaf tobacco, wrapper leaf tobacco. And it was highly prized for its use as a part of cigar manufacturing. You know, cigars have three components: the filler, the wrapper, and the binder. Well, I guess in order, that would be the filler, the binder, and then the wrapper. Okay, whatever. Outside of Gaston County, there is another county up there in Connecticut that to this day still is a big, big production location for tobacco. But anyway, in the 60s, the tobacco industry basically just fell apart, just collapsed. At least the industry in Gaston County. And for those of you who are better in tune with the history, you feel free to, you know, you can text me or email me if you want to tell me how wrong I am. Wouldn't surprise me. But I do know that in Gaston County, there was, in fact, this entire population of people that were disenfranchised. Because those tobacco farms, and go over to drive around Havana and Quincy. You had tobacco farms, I mean barns and such, those big barns that, you know, that's where they hung the tobacco to cure. They're still standing there, a lot of them. You know, nothing rots. I mean, I should say, we don't have the harsh, harsh winters. Carl has educated me on this thing. So stuff just sort of lingers in the South. Isn't that right, Carl? You know, that you can just drive around North Florida area and you see stuff that just seems like it's just frozen in time. Well, the people weren't. The people lost their jobs, lost their means of income. A lot of those people ended up working for county, city government, and other things, state government, right? I mean, or they just have struggled against being underemployed. And again, I mean, we've talked about this, you and I, more often. It's not entirely about race or ethnicity or educational level. It's all of those things that brings a population of people to a level of entrenchment. They just can't seem to get up out of the history that is theirs, the family history. And so we're going to talk with Sherry Hubbard about Alice population, the asset limited income constrained employed, or in short terms, the working poor. Now, my friend, you may be one of those people. And it's not that you're not hardworking, and it's not that you are less educated necessarily. It may be a lot of it to do with the opportunities that are not available to you. Maybe it's the constraint that you feel because it's tough to get further education and keep things going, keep working at the same time. A lot of us struggling against circumstance that we don't know how to overcome. And some of it is personal, I suppose, but a lot of it too is more social. You know, it's across neighborhoods. It's across entire populations of folks. And so we have this challenge afoot. We call it the Tallahassee Food Challenge that helps us address the truth. Where is it that we find ourselves here in 2022 when Leon County continues to figure among those most impoverished as a county in the state of Florida? It continues to represent some of the most dire circumstances and food scarcity, food deserts, and just the lack of availability. People living in neighborhoods where grocery stores are not, and then public transportation isn't available, and they don't have a car. So they're working with the means that they have at their disposal. Well, folks, we are determined here to continue that conversation. We're not going to stop talking about it. And that's why the Tallahassee Food Challenge was started so many years ago. We're doing our very best. We certainly can do better, and we're going to endeavor to do better at communicating the issues at hand. And we bring people to you like Sherry Hubbard. And she's doing her part over there at Second Harvest. We'll learn about their organization, some of the new stuff that they've got going on, some of these means by which they are distributing food into local neighborhoods, making it easier for those on foot, to go in and get the food they need, even if it's just for the day. You know, it's a remarkable thing when you have a population of people like we do here, and some of these folks working in working class situations. You know, the median income for Leon County, you can do this. Go and look at the WIN data online. Leon County's median income, household income, somewhere in the upper 40s, like 48,000. And that's considerably lower than the rest of Florida, and certainly considerably lower than the nation. And these folks looking for some way to do better for themselves, and we're going to keep trying to help them.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Pregnancy Center of Gadsden County is a nonprofit organization that provides vital services to Gadsden County and the surrounding areas, and it's entirely funded by contributions from individuals, businesses, foundations, and churches within the community. PCGC, as it is affectionately known, has served hundreds and hundreds of people with healthy pregnancy and relationship education services at no cost to those individuals served. It's a remarkable organization, and it is a remarkable service. We have as our guest the director for Pregnancy Center of Gadsden County, Kimberly Nelson. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You're not busy or anything, right? I mean, we've got all the time in the world. We can just drag you in here whenever we need to talk. But it happens on this occasion that you have a very special event coming up, and we want to get to that here in just a moment. It's not far away. May 3rd, as I understand, in the evening, with what you've dubbed the Celebration of Life Gala, featuring none other than Alveda King, who all of us know as the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. She herself has been an advocate for the unborn for many, many years, highly celebrated, served as a congresswoman at one point, if I'm not mistaken. She was in the 28th District, Georgia House of Representatives. What a gift that is for you as an organization and for us as a community to have her coming as your guest speaker, right?
Yes, yes. She has an amazing story to tell. She's a lot of amazing stories to
tell. This is a first time for her to do this with you, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us the backstory. How did this come about?
Okay. Well, she has been working with Priests for Life. She was working with Priests for Life for a long time as, I think, a liaison for this area in the South. And she has now retired from that. And she is the one who really decided that, I think, you know, in this season of her life, she wants to focus on speaking out and going out to organizations like ours, to events where she has the opportunity to speak to a lot of people about civil rights for the unborn, is what she calls it.
Really remarkable. And for that, for her life, I mean, her adult life, her professional life, has been an outspoken advocate for civil rights, following in the tradition of her family, really, because if you look across the way, her father and others in the family have all been very productive and able advocates for civil rights issues, certainly ongoing, right? I mean, yeah. Is there ever a time when we shouldn't be standing up on behalf of all of us in our our right to live and according to the Constitution? I think the Constitution is still intact. Last time I looked, rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of. I think, hopefully, and but it's this notion that when people are more important than an idea or an ideology, it forces the ideology to adjust, to change. And I'm just putting that out there. I know maybe I've got this all wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time. But if in fact, if a human being is a human being, and we can look at our own national history, it seems to me that the justification for treating classes of people, race, ethnicity, gender, even socioeconomic status, you know, your level of income, is based in this kind of, I'll call it an ideology, but it may simply be better to call it a mindset, that there's this attitude. Well, see, Kimberly, the Constitution does affirm our rights, but all men, you didn't notice that part, are created equal.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So just take it, you know, just step back a bit here.
Let me step back.
Right, right.
Can you define a man?
Exactly right. Yeah. And that gets back to this business of what is human. And, you know, in my experience, and this is, I wish I could say this was ancient history, but it's not.
No.
And I moved to Tallahassee in 78, the last 40 years. First time I ever came in touch with people in business who were just blatant in their attitude and in their remarks about women, about African Americans, about Mexican Americans. I mean, just harsh and unabashed and unapologetic. So I was like, okay, wait a minute. Where are you in this timeline here? You're living you're living in another time, another place, because that is certainly not where we are.
Right.
How did you get left behind in your thinking? Here in the month of March, we're celebrating what, National Women's Month? Not a bad idea.
No, I don't. Yeah. Yes. Not a bad idea. I think you hit on something earlier that kind of hits at the heart of all of it, is that it's are we humans? What is a human? And and I think what's happened and throughout history, you'll see where people can become disregarded and society jumps in on that is where they dehumanize people.
Indeed.
And they dehumanized the Jews.
Right.
They dehumanized African Americans.
Yep.
They dehumanized the mentally disabled or disabled.
Yep.
And in when you take away the humanity of someone, and now the unborn, they dehumanize the unborn. And when you take away the humanity of that person, then it's okay to do whatever you want with them.
Yeah.
And that's where it's, we have to ask two questions when it comes to recognizing the unborn. Is it a human, and do you value human life? Those are the two questions. And if you, the answer to the first one is really the fact that we even have a debate about it is unreal
to me. Sort of an up and down question.
It's just, of course it's a human. And if there is a question, would we kill it? You know, if you're questioning whether or not you, if you're not sure, you don't kill it.
Right.
I mean, you figure it out.
Right.
So then it's, do you value humanity?
Indeed.
And if you do value humanity, then what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Where are you going to go with that?
Right. Exactly.
And if we were to take that same sort of logical structure, right, is this a human being, and do we have the right, we'll say, to kill that individual? If it's an unjust killing, well, by definition, at least
That's right.
Our you know, Western civilization definition of unjust killing of a human being is murder.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you really have to kind of parse that a bit and say, mm-hmm. okay, where do I come down on this issue? Mm-hmm. I have had friends of mine, some in politics, people who are elected officials, mm-hmm. sitting in this studio mm-hmm. and argue with me that though they personally identified as pro-life, mm-hmm. didn't feel like it was the business of government,
right.
we'll say, to, or they said, to legislate that.
Right.
Folks, we're talking with Kimberly Nelson. She is the executive director for this Pregnancy Center of Gadsden County, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of key.
So we're back and we're talking with Kimberly Nelson. You got this great event coming up. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
We mentioned it earlier. I mean, come on, Alveda King. I mean, in so many ways, she has been a contributor to rational thinking, among other topics, I suppose, or other ways of categorizing this.
Yeah.
Tell us about your knowledge of her and what you're looking forward to.
Gosh, well, I'm so excited, probably the most excited I've been about this event. We've had, like I said, I've been there for 7 years, so uh-huh. we've had some incredible speakers.
Indeed.
But I'm just, it's going to be such an honor to speak with her. Her family history, like you said, is part of our history as a country.
American history,
yes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And she tells she tells stories that about her experience with her family. Her father was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandfather was a pastor, so that would have been Martin Luther King Sr.
Yeah.
And then her uncle, of course, was Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
And she was a teenager when he was assassinated. And one of the stories that she tells about that, when she learned about that, is just, I think it's just a beautiful story,
right.
And it especially very poignant for what's going on today in the world.
Wow.
And she talks about how I don't know if I should tell the story. I'll probably let her tell it at the event, but it's really incredible. And she talks about forgiveness, and she talks about how her father told her that. You know, her father was a great leader also.
Yes.
And,
A.D. King.
A.D.
Right?
King, that's right.
Yeah.
And he died very young, too. The family's really has a lot of tragedy in their family.
Wow.
But yes, he died. He died very young, and they believe he was actually murdered.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, you know, she was going to be aborted.
Hmm.
And her mother and father were not married yet. I believe they got married in their teens, hmm. but they were engaged. And her mother was going to have an abortion, and her grandfather, being a pastor, hmm. and he found out about it. And she tells the story, says that hmm. he had a dream that her mother was pregnant, and went to her and said, "Listen, I know you're pregnant, and you can't abort that baby. That's a human life.
Wow.
God created that baby."
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, it's going to be a little girl, I think. And isn't that so neat?
That's chilling.
So, yeah, it was a very sweet story. And so her parents didn't, and they chose to go through with the pregnancy and have her. And so she says that her grandfather saved her life.
In a dream.
Isn't that neat?
I mean, and yeah. Not to state the obvious, but we're talking about
exactly
Martin Luther's father saying, I had a dream. Folks, I mean, this should bring us front and center with the crux of the issue. And that is, to me anyway, what we imagine, what we dream about, what do we envision?
Mm.
Because it seems to me that entirely is uniquely human. Dogs bark, birds sing, but human beings have this capacity to imagine something that has not yet existed. And in our dreams, we see a child in the womb, and we see a human being,
mm-hmm.
not just a blob of tissue, not an unfortunate incident that needs to be removed surgically,
right.
sometimes
yeah.
horribly. Now, mm-hmm. Florida has stood up and said of late, you know what? You've had 3 months to think about the fact that you're pregnant, 13 weeks
mm-hmm.
prior to which time you work it out with your family, with your doctor, with your faith community.
Right.
But after that third month,
mm-hmm.
we've given you that much time. And no, at that point,
right.
we're well beyond giving you opportunity. And
yeah.
so to kill that child at that mm-hmm. point, not going to be a legal thing anymore
right.
in Florida.
Thank goodness.
That has raised the ire of mm-hmm. many mm-hmm. and the protests of some. But as I talk with people, and I mean, this is all anecdotal, you go, and I'm in people's offices through the week, every week. So I have a lot of people that come to us for help with various kinds of services and things that we provide as a company. And I'll just ask the question. I mean, so what do you think of this?
Hmm.
The feedback in the main has been, it's about time. And
right.
I wonder, too, now, again, that's anecdotal, but how, if perhaps you feel like the country has shifted more towards this or favors a more cautious approach, we'll say, maybe not as wholesale accepting of mm-hmm. abortion as an alternative. I mean, are you reading any of that?
Yeah, I would agree with you, absolutely. And it's 15 weeks, and it's a pain capable abortion bill. So they have undoubtedly discovered through science
right.
that the child can feel pain at this point.
Yeah.
So it's an act of protecting
it's
that unborn baby.
Just a belief issue; it's a biological
absolutely.
Issue.
Absolutely, yeah. They absolutely perform surgeries in utero on these babies. So it's incredible, and it is about time that Florida stepped up to protect these children.
Yeah.
So I'm super happy about that, and I think that. Yes, we have become a more pro-life country. I think when Roe v. Wade was passed in the 40-something years ago now,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It was before ultrasound. It was
right.
before we had this window into the womb,
right.
and so we can, you know, in that sense, we can give a pass to
yeah.
you know those people,
yeah.
but. Now we really are without excuse. I mean, we can see the flash of light that happens at conception.
Mm.
We can see the development from the very beginning, and there's just no doubt about it. And I think that the children, I say children, but no, the younger generations
mm-hmm.
for sure are absolutely leaning towards pro-life.
And interesting in that we have, again, going back to our nation's history, lived through those eras, those periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk with you, too, in greater detail about the work that you folks do as a center. What got you involved in this? You've been at it longer than just the time you've been with the center.
Yes. So I really didn't know about pregnancy centers growing up here in Tallahassee.
So you're native, eh?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I lived in
Gadsden
County.
One of the few remaining, I think. But
right.
This is good to know.
Yeah. Most of us just, or most of the people come to FSU and maybe stay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I did go to FSU. I lived in Gadsden County also in my youth. But I wasn't aware of pregnancy center work at all. But I learned about it and wanted to volunteer somewhere and looked into the idea of it and thought, yeah, this is a great idea. Absolutely. And so I thought I would just go and fold baby clothes. That's what I wanted to do.
But now you're doing a little bit more than that. We're talking with Kimberly Nelson. She is the executive director for the Pregnancy Center of Gaston County. You stay with me. We got more.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're back. You're talking with Kimberly Nelson here, having a great conversation about this remarkable organization, Pregnancy Center of Gaston County, for its life. It has been pretty straight up about being a helping hand, being a way of reaching out to young women or older women who are faced with an unexpected pregnancy. That's a difficult challenge for everybody involved, but mostly, of course, for that woman who is faced with this question, what do I do? When you are seeing someone come to the center and they are looking to you for help, help us understand, how does that work? What's the process, I guess?
Okay. So a woman will come in generally for a pregnancy test. All of our services are completely free.
That's nice.
Yeah, we've given back just thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to the community in services.
That's wonderful.
Yes, and we, like you said earlier in the beginning, we are completely funded by donations. We take no government funds, so we're pretty proud of that. Mm-hmm. And also, it's just amazing. It's an amazing reflection of how generous our community is.
Certainly.
Because we are able to walk with our clients up to 2 years after the babies are born, offering them educational resources, mentoring, baby items. We also have an STD clinic at this point. We have an STD treatment and testing, and we do ultrasounds as well for the moms. So, yes. So a woman will come in for a pregnancy test, and generally it is unexpected. And to be able to sit down with her and share with her that we are able to come alongside of her with this pregnancy and the father. We do counseling for the men as well. Come alongside with her and walk with her through the pregnancy. It's a palpable relief for her in the room because statistically, the number one reason a woman chooses to have an abortion is because of financial issues. And so we are able to help her with that issue.
How does that work? Do they then look to you for financial assistance, or are you helping them
with material assistance?
Getting those. Okay, so the things that they need,
yes,
in order to be able to care for this child.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you're looking to businesses and individuals and corporations that are going to help you not only provide funding, but even those items, right, that are donated?
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do I do that? How do I help, I guess?
Well, you're welcome to join us at our fundraising gala.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
Featuring none other than
that's right.
Alveda King.
That's right.
Did I mention it's May 3rd on a Tuesday evening, 6 p.m.? Where is that going to be? At the center?
The University Center Club. It'll be at FSU.
Here in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
Yes. Yeah, so that is one way to do it. You can partner with us financially. That's another way. A lot of people donate baby items, volunteers. We're almost totally run off of volunteers. Hmm. So volunteering a few hours a week is an incredible gift to us.
When I was a younger man, speaking of Roe v. Wade, working for a radio station, and it was an annual broadcast. We would do a remote broadcast in January on the anniversary. Every year we did this on the anniversary of the decision, Roe v. Wade, which I want to say is the 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in there,
right,
in January. So we'd be on the steps of the Supreme Court, for the state of Florida Supreme Court, broadcasting live, and you'd have all kinds of folks there who were pro-life.
Wow.
Representing the point, the message, carrying the torch, we'd say. Interestingly enough, in those years and those that followed, I discovered there were people involved who identified as pro-life, but they had a really different agenda, and they certainly had a different strategy or approach to how to deal with them. And I think there was largely a level of frustration that amounted to people taking up violent means to try to protest an abortion clinic or a doctor,
right,
or a nurse involved in the practice. It goes back to the business of ideas and people. And so for me, I had to pull away.
I get it.
Because ideologically, I'm there with you. In my heart, I'm believing with you. But what you're practicing, what you're purporting to do is a violation of everything you say you believe. On one hand, so you're going to try to fight to save the life of this child by murdering this physician.
Right.
I mean,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
That's bananas.
Because I think, yeah. Yes, it is. And I think what happens, again, it's this business of ideology or ideas over the needs of people.
Yeah.
If we really care that there are people who yet are discriminated against in even the subtlest of ways because of their gender, because of their race or ethnicity, if we really care, then we're going to care in every arena, in every capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And if our ideology, our belief system needs to change, well, look, for heaven's sakes, let's change it.
Right.
That's easier said than done, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We hold on to the stuff that we,
yes.
I mean.
I think that you're absolutely right. And thank goodness, it's always the fringe groups that get the most attention,
seems
unfortunately.
Like it.
But I will tell you that we take definitely a pro-love approach, and we are about relationships with people.
Mm.
And a common criticism of pregnancy centers or pro-lifers, excuse me, are that they are pro-birth. They're pro-birth and not pro-life.
Mm.
And the fact that we walk with our clients, like I said, for up to 2 years after the babies are born. As a matter of fact, I saw a client the other day, and she's not with us anymore, but she is trying to get her GED now.
Neat.
And we have people that can help her with
that.
And so we're bringing her back in and to come and at the center and get counseling to tutoring for her GED.
It's the difference between a factory and a family.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, me too. I just thought of that. You can write it down.
I might use it.
Yeah, please.
But I'll say that, we are a Christ-centered organization. Mm. And when you talk about the doctors that are in these clinics, I see them as victims too, mm-hmm. honestly. Mm-hmm. I see the nurses that volunteer or work, they work there, mm-hmm. that work there as victims as well, mm-hmm. to the whole abortion idea. Because truly, one day they will wake up to this, mm-hmm. and one day they will see what they've done. And my heart breaks for them for that point. And we pray for the doctors and nurses that work in those places. Mm-hmm. We pray for them all the time.
Well, we should join in praying for them and for you and for all those who work at your side and for those that you are serving and those that are helping you do that. Folks, it is a pleasure. Kimberly Nelson is her name. She's the director for the Pregnancy Center, Gaston County. And we're going to let you go on with your very busy day. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. This was really awesome.
A pleasure. Folks, that's what I have for you here at the moment. Stay with me after the top of the hour. We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. You're in the second hour here of Tallahassee Talks, your most favoritest radio show ever. Is that right, Carl? Ever. Carl says yes. The most favoritest radio show ever, encouraging you to apply now if you're a youth. If you're a youth between 14 and 24, you can apply for summer employment with the County Youth Training Program. And they're now accepting applications for the Summer Youth Training Program. This is in partnership with CareerSource Capital Region. Summer Youth Training Program is a 5-week program in which youths can gain job experience by working with a Leon County department over the summer. Pretty cool. Now, you can apply for these positions in various county departments, including community and media relations, volunteer services, emergency medical services, library services. All of these positions are 20 hours a week, pay $10 an hour. Hey, summer employment beats mowing lawns, unless you particularly like 98% humidity and 100-degree temperatures. But summer employment training will run from the 27th of June, that's a Monday, through Friday the 29th. So they're going to employ you, they're going to train you, and it's all part of Leon County and CareerSource Capital Region's partnership. And you get more professional development. In my opening remarks here, I was telling you at the beginning of the show, some of the concerns that we should all have, I certainly have, when it comes to entrenched populations of people, meaning that the likelihood that you'll ever make more money than your parents is the least in the country. If you were born in Leon County and live here, income entrenchment is a real thing. Well, here's a program that's available to young folks between 14 and 24 years of age. Where do you go? Interested youth should apply now. LeonCountyFL.gov/summeryouth. The deadline for application is April 25th. So do that. Okay? Got it? What else do we have? Oh, this is also further news from the County of Leon. Once again, having earned the coveted travel distinction from Southern Living Magazine. Wow. identifying Tallahassee as one of the South's best college towns. As part of the magazine's sixth annual South's Best Awards. So, Tallahassee being recognized for that. Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor said that this award celebrates the people, places, and communities that make the South an exciting and vibrant place to live and visit. Mayor Daley quoted as saying, from groundbreaking research to internationally renowned performances, the colleges and universities that make Tallahassee their home offer exciting and engaging opportunities. So, high fives all around for the city of Tallahassee and its the contributions being made by TCC, FAMU, and Florida State to our well-being, making it one of the South's best college towns. All right. Let's see what else I've got here for you. I know I've got a couple of other announcements. I will stop to say, just for the moment, because I'm going to say more of this in just a minute when we have Sherry Hubbard with us. Tallahassee Food Challenge is officially launched for 2022. And you can find out more if you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Easy to do, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Learn more about the backstory. Donate to Second Harvest, which in turn is a contribution then to all of the food charities in our community. Very cool. And at the same time, learn more specifically items that are of greater need. You know, canned food is always good. Cash donations are even better, be honest, because there's a 4-to-1 ratio there. So there's a donate button, and you can directly contribute to Second Harvest. Your $1 translates into $4 worth of food because of their buying power, okay? Here's another announcement. Southside Transit Center Day, and this comes up today, March the 26th, from 10 o'clock until 1 p.m. today. And with that, this is the city of Tallahassee joining with neighbors at the site of the future Southside Transit Center, which is at the corner of Meridian and Orange Avenue. How cool is that? You can learn more about this exciting program if you attend. Again, that's going on from 10 to 1 today. Construction of a Southside Transit Center is a strategic initiative of the city to ensure public transportation is accessible, efficient, and equitable. Star Metro, the city's public transportation system, is currently conducting significant community outreach and engagement with local residents and riders will have input into this milestone project. Again, you know what? If we're talking about food scarcities, food deserts, accessibility to food, yeah, public transportation figures pretty strongly into that, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you've got to bring home, a couple of bags of groceries and you're dragging a grocery cart, you know what, 4 or 5 miles back to your house, round trip, maybe 10 miles or more. Yeah. I mean, and it's tough enough when it's, you know, weather that's pleasant enough to do that. Of late, the rain and the cold, and forget about talking summertime, right? I think you get the point. There is a continuing effort, one last announcement, that has to do with the use of Northwood Parcel. Their next community outreach meeting is coming up the 29th, and that goes on from 6 to 7:30 at the Tallahassee Senior Center. So if you want to be a part of that conversation in which the city is looking to you for input, we hope they are. Sometimes you wonder. Visioning continues, it says, for the future of the Northwood Parcel. Remember that this was the Northwood Mall for many years and then was used by the city for office space and such, and then it turned out to be rat-infested and bat-infested. I mean, oh, my gosh. So anyway, that's all behind us. Now, as a follow-up, the project's most recent community meeting will be, again, I'm saying this, March 29 at the Tallahassee Senior Center. More than 200 residents attended the last meeting that was in January, and many more have submitted comments via email and online surveys and such. The feedback is being used to guide long-term master planning. Now, if you want to learn more about this, go to talgov.com/Northwood Project. Okay? talgov.com/Northwood Project, and you'll learn more about it. I know that they've already looked in the direction of Tallahassee Police Department as this being a very good possibility for them to have a relocation of police headquarters. But there's still discussion, and it's our time to engage in that conversation. So do that for me. And stay with me, because I've got Sherry Hubbard standing by with more about Tallahassee Food Challenge and Second Harvest of the Big Bend.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
It may be that you have a long-standing familiarity, understanding, and even love for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. There are a number of faithful food charities in our community, thank goodness. Second Harvest is that watershed for all of them, because it's Second Harvest that then brings to the community the distribution of those food items that are so vital. Man, there's no fluff here. This is about as real as it gets. And they bring something else. They bring a level of organization, and we have one of those people here today. And this remarkable buying power that they bring to the table, whereby a dollar given can buy $4 worth of food. That's roughly the ratio. So with that in mind, we started the Tallahassee Food Challenge many years ago, and it is continuing even now. And this year we are in full throttle in our efforts to bring attention to the needs of hungry families, hungry kids. What better time to invite Sherry Hubbard, who is the Director of Communications for Second Harvest, as our guest, and she is here now. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm better now that you're here, because you can tell us more than I can possibly imagine. You have been a part of this organization for a number of years. How long have you been with Second Harvest?
I actually was hired right before Hurricane Michael, so I came on board in the midst of that.
In the midst
response.
Oh my goodness, that just it makes me stop and think about what a kind of baptism you had. Because, folks, have we forgotten the devastation involved, and then the human toll, the human need, long, long beyond, far beyond the path of that hurricane and the months that then ensued, but the people who were without food. Because there weren't any grocery stores. There wasn't food available. And all of that came back to your table. All of it came back to you guys.
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point, Brian, because I think a lot of times when people think about food insecurity and hunger in our service area, which is the Big Bend, we serve 11 counties in the Big Bend, including Leon County, which is by far our most populated county. We sometimes forget about episodic hunger, which is something that we've seen a lot of in the last 3 years. First with Hurricane Michael, you know, you had a lot of people who went to bed that night and were fine and woke up the next day, maybe without a home and without a job. And of course, that was a long-term recovery.
And then, it's still going on.
It is still going on. Absolutely. There, you know, the aftermath, I was at a meeting in the Panhandle and the coast this week, and they're, you know, still very much talking about, you know, ongoing issues resulting from Hurricane
and
Michael.
And you think about that, Sherry. We've had several folks here telling us about that whole population. And I say in more gentle terms, the communities that were affected, Mariana particularly, and the fact that you're already looking at an area that is decidedly impoverished, largely agrarian. Some of these people have never taken a handout in their lives.
Yes, and this is what we've seen in the last 2 years. When the COVID pandemic started, was many new faces coming to our mobile distributions and to pantry distributions with our partners, people who'd never needed food assistance before. But all of a sudden, you know, during the pandemic, perhaps they'd lost their jobs. And, you know, this brings to mind a bigger topic when we think about who is hungry in our community. You can look at a lot of numbers and statistics. But if you look at, are you familiar with the ALICE report?
From I am.
Way? Okay.
Tell us more about it.
Well, so ALICE just refers to asset limited, income constrained, employed. And basically it's working families, people who are getting up and going to work every day, but maybe they're underemployed and, you know, they're making just enough money to make ends meet.
Right.
But not enough to have a reserve, not enough to have savings. So that first little hiccup or big hiccup in the case of a Hurricane Michael or COVID, they are making hard choices. And, you know, they have no reserves to fall back on. So a lot of these folks, for the first time, they needed assistance with food. And, you know, everything starts with food. Feeding your family.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is that common denominator.
Mm-hmm. So ALICE households in Leon County represents, if you look at the latest 2020 census figures, our population, 30%, that's almost 90,000 people who are ALICE households living just above the poverty threshold.
Say that again. How much? How many? What percentage?
Almost 30% in Leon County. That's the United Way, the Big Bend's ALICE estimate for Leon County, which is almost 90,000 people. So that's a lot of people that are living just below the poverty threshold, and they make too much money to qualify for federal programs. So it's sort of a catch-22.
It is entirely that.
Yes.
We've talked with some of the economists over there at the Florida Chamber, and they talk about this cliff, which I think you're referring to, that if I take that higher-paying job, I lose all of the assistance that I've been getting for food, for childcare, and the higher-paying job isn't enough to replace all those dollars.
Absolutely.
It's as you say, catch 22. It's a trap. I'm stuck here. Wow.
Yeah.
So the question, of course, this is a question you and I can't, we certainly can't answer, but it begs the question, why can't we adjust those benefit programs so there's a kind of gradation there, right? So, okay, Sherry, we just got you another 20 grand a year, but we're not going to cut you off in our assistance, we're going to scale that back. Why doesn't that isn't that sensible? I don't get it.
You would think so.
You would think. Okay. All right, folks. I hope you hear the frustration in my voice because it's been an issue for me for a long time. Is what in the world? Why can't we do the right thing? Sherry Hubbard is here, and she always does the right thing. She is doing her very best as the director of communications then for second harvest of the Big Bend. Been there a while. Looks like she's going to be there a while longer because there's a whole lot to communicate. We're going to take a quick break, but before I do that, you have a pretty extensive background in this whole business of public relations and communications. I'm reading here more than 30 years developing and implementing communications and PR systems and media relations. Is this the toughest job you've ever loved?
Every job I've ever had has been wonderful and challenging in its own way, but this is definitely a career highlight in terms of being able to hopefully make an impact right here in my own community and, you know, in my own back door, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, me too. Well, I think we're all grateful that you're at the helm when it comes to helping us better understand second harvest of the Big Bend. And you are in touch with us here at Tallahassee Talks, so don't go away. We're going to have some more conversation here with this lovely person. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Sherry Hubbard. She is the communications director for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. She serves on the board of directors for Shine Now, which is a Florida not-for-profit that's dedicated to the success of women in the workplace. Kind of tell us what your day looks like. I mean, what is it that you have to do on behalf of Second Harvest?
Well, I'm very proud to serve as the voice of Second Harvest, along with our leadership team and our wonderful, dynamic, super smart CEO, Monique Van Pelt, who we're so blessed to have on board.
She is super smart.
Yeah.
I feel stupid when I'm around her. Is that? But then again, Carl would quickly say, Dad, you feel stupid about everybody. So.
No, I can't say that. I'd say she lifts us all up with her enthusiasm and her energy. So, you know, it's always wonderful to
work
with
delight.
Someone.
She is.
She absolutely is. And then she challenges us to be the best that we can be. So we all have, you know, our vital roles within the organization, but we're very much like a family, a small organization as staff goes. Mm. And so we work really hard to support each other on a daily basis. And, you know, no 2 days look the same. We get up with one thing in mind and maybe have a to-do list, and then something will come up and we'll all put that aside to meet a certain deadline or make a priority.
Brush fires, we'd say.
Yep. Yeah. Getting the food out is not optional. So, for example, if a volunteer group has to cancel and we were counting on them to come in and do a packing for a distribution, then guess what? We're all laying down our phones and our pens and we're going back into the warehouse and the staff is going to get that packing done.
I loved meeting the polar bears, these men who work in the deep freeze, dressed appropriately, having a blast. And they're just
amazing volunteers.
You say that. Monique pointed this out to me during this last 2 years, and especially when the threat of COVID was at its peak. She was saying to the folks that volunteer with you, hey, we get it. If you're not at ease being here, if you feel like you just can't do this. One woman said, you know, you were there for me when I needed food and for my kids. I'm here for you.
We hear that so often. So many of our volunteers are former clients who receive services from Second Harvest partner agencies or through one of our programs. And it's always, you know, I like to, when I first came on board, I was working closely daily with the volunteers. And I loved hearing those stories, you know, about why they choose to support us. Because let's face it, there are a lot of, you know, social services groups and causes that people could choose to support. And I'm always interested in why they choose us and hearing their stories.
It, you know, that brings to mind the manner in which, as an organization, you folks have adapted over the years. I mean, I remember the days when we first started running Tallahassee Food Challenge. And the facility that was occupied at the time was a mess, and it wasn't getting any better. And one brave soul took the helm then and said, we're going to, what was his name, Jim? I've forgotten now. I forget.
Croteau.
Yes, thank you. He was stalwart, and he just kind of grabbed hold of the steering wheel and said, no, we're going to get through this. Ended up in this wonderful facility that you have now, met all of the standards needed for safety and food safety, as well as your people. And then here comes Monique, who comes with this fresh sort of perspective on not just the day-to-day, but that big picture. And you talked about some of your food distribution. Tell us about the manner, and you've got some new ones coming online, but the manner in which you're actually getting food out into some of these neighborhoods, it's remarkable.
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, it's wonderful to have an opportunity to talk to people about how we actually work. So Second Harvest, we're located here in Leon County out near the airport. We have a ginormous 41,000 square foot warehouse. So if folks have never been out there, I encourage them to, you know, look for an opportunity to come out and take a tour with us. And that, from there, we serve as the hub. People don't actually come to the warehouse to get food.
Right.
We work with partner agencies, what we call partner agencies, across our service area, you know, about 150 of them.
Wow.
And they are the ones who are actually distributing. They get food from us, and they distribute it in their communities where they know the people, and they can order exactly the type of food, whether it's you know, shelf-stable canned goods and dry goods, fresh produce, frozen meat, whatever they need, and distribute it to the community. So here in Leon County, we have almost 50 partner agencies. And between those agencies, they set their own distribution schedules for their pantries. That's where the pantries are located, to distinguish between us, the food bank, and the food pantries. So people go to the pantries, and there are right now about 208 pantry distributions every month. So that's our primary method of getting food out, are providing food to those partner agencies and having good coverage getting that food out. In addition to that, we do mobile pantries. We did a lot of this after Hurricane Michael, when a lot of our partner agencies were offline for a while, and we've continued to do those. So we do about 8 to 10 of those here in Leon County every month, where we'll load up our truck and go to a predetermined area and advertise it and distribute.
Just show up and say, here we are, folks.
Yeah, and a couple of those are really big, like our Thanksgiving and Christmas distributions.
I imagine.
So those are going on every month. And then we have our programs, which I think if people have heard anything about our programs, they probably heard of the backpack program.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that seems to. But there's child nutrition programs like that. And then we have senior programs, like our senior grocery program, and we have programs that target underserved communities. So one of the new ones that we've been working on this year, which we're so happy while starting last year, is what we call our neighborhood empowerment programs. And I think that's what you were alluding to. And a lot of this has been funded. We're so fortunate by American Rescue Act funding. Which we were fortunate to receive, and that has helped us develop the neighborhood empowerment programs. So we're going into areas that we know are underserved.
Yes.
And
maybe
there's
deserts,
not
deserts, we call them, right?
That too. Some of them are not, you know, and transportation can be an issue. Mobility can be an issue.
Right.
So if you don't have a car and you have a hard time getting out of your apartment, the neighborhood distributions, we're going right to the neighborhood.
It's within walking distance then.
Yeah, right to Providence or a Nacoma or Frenchtown or Springfield Complex.
Right, right.
Greater Bond Community, Griffin Heights. We're taking the food right there and we're setting up so people, and these are walk-ups because it's right in the neighborhood, not
drive-throughs. I've seen the one at Frenchtown there at Heritage Hub.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very clever.
But only that, we're collaborating with partners, other social service agencies, like 10 or more will come out and help us to not only, we're distributing the food, but then they're educating citizens about other services that are available to them.
That's very cool.
So it's a very uplifting experience for the people we're serving.
Talking with Sherry Hubbard, she is helping us better understand this magnificent effort, Second Harvest of the Big Bend. She's the Director of Communications, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, we have the pleasure of having Sherry Hubbard here. She is chock full of all kinds of information about hunger as it is represented and reported in Leon County. And may I remind you, if you don't already know this, Leon County infamously is probably the highest or among the highest in the state of Florida on some of these very ugly numbers. We talked earlier about the ALICE individual, the asset limited, income constrained, I should say, employed. That's the working poor. Okay, so you may be used to feeling like you're running from paycheck to paycheck. That's become the normal status for a lot of us. But then it goes another step further because it's not just paycheck to paycheck. They get to that paycheck and it's not enough. And if there is any kind of a hiccup, what do? Do I feed my kids or do I take care of that immediacy? Some people call it the tyranny of the urgent. Well, there's nothing more urgent than a child who's going to bed hungry every night, which makes it important for us to consider at this time of year. We're heading into the end of the school year. We're heading into that period of time when school food programs, breakfasts, lunch, they're just not there. And the demand goes up. So the supplies are going down. The demand is up. Folks, this is a daily issue. You know, they don't have thousands of warehouses. They have one facility. As magnanimous as it is and as capable as it is, but the food goes out every day. It's never stops, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Sherry Hubbard's helping me out here because I get up on my soapbox and we won't have much of a show. What's your biggest frustration in this job?
Oh, my goodness.
Hard to say because there's probably a bunch. But you got to pick.
You know, I'm.
What are the top three? The things that you just get up every day and go, if I could just solve that.
Oh, if I had a magic wand. Oh, I love those questions.
Well, I mean, within your job. I mean, you can't. I know we want there to be a perfect world, but I'm just saying, you know, you got a job to do.
To talk to more people. So our mission is twofold. It's advancing change and to feed hungry people, but there's an education and engagement component to that, which is a big part of what I do, and opportunities like this are so beneficial. I, you know, would love to have more opportunities just to talk to people, be out and about, and, you know, we do as much of that as time allows. I will mention there is a great opportunity next week, actually our annual, big annual event, and it's new. We've reinvented it. It's called The Harvest. It's next Thursday, and people can still get tickets. We'll be there. Our staff will be there. Our board members will be there. Mm. So if people want to come out and talk to us and really have in-depth conversations and celebrate with us all we've been through in the past year, we'd love to see people out there. It's going to be a super fun night.
Wow.
They can get tickets on our website.
Okay, I'm looking there now, and I'm looking for events. And when does this happen?
It's next Thursday, March 31st at Goodwood Museum and Gardens from 6 to 10. And tickets are $40,
awesome.
And that includes food from several local restaurants, an open beer and wine bar, entertainment by Tallahassee Nights Live, which if you've never been fortunate enough to experience
that's
them,
awesome.
You should come just for that.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I mean, they're fabulous.
And okay. We're going to have a great silent auction, too, with luxury items, which you're really excited about.
Oh, this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
The Harvest, it's called. New signature event. I'm looking at it on your website here. This is very easy. There's the map. If you don't know where Goodwood is, well, come on. That's easy to find over there on Miccosukee. Goodwood Museum and Gardens. $40, 6 to 10. Oh, we got to do this. Okay, do yourself a favor. Give yourself a gift. In fact, buy four tickets. And then you take a friend and then give two tickets to somebody else, some other folks that you know. $40, man, well, that's ridiculous.
We're making it so easy for them, too. So you just go to fightinghunger.org. You
right.
get your tickets. We're going to email it to you with a barcode. You don't have to download anything on your phone. No special programs or apps are required.
Good idea.
So everything will be completely
And this all benefits simple. Second Harvest, which in turn benefits all of this work and all these charities that you're helping. Okay, let's just review. Fightinghunger.org. And then when you get there, click on the events link there at the top in the menu. It'll take you to the calendar. And when you see that calendar, click on the 31st. See, even I can do this. And then you have The Harvest. Click on that. Now it's going to bring you up to the page that has all of the details and where you can buy tickets right there online.
It's actually even easier than that, Brian. We have a link
on our homepage.
Well, of
course it is, because I always do things the hard way. For heaven's sakes.
They can do it right
you
from our
homepage.
You
could have stopped me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's more than one way, but we make it easy, folks. It's right on our homepage. So if you want to come out and join us and support us, we'd love to see you there.
Fine. I liked it when I was explaining it, but, you know, that's just my ego. So that's okay. There's plenty of that to go around. Yeah, it's right there on the homepage, folks. Easy enough. Fightinghunger.org. Make that a part of your spring activity, and you're going to have a great time. And you're right. Friday night, what? Come on. Tallahassee, what's it called? Tallahassee Nights
Live, yes.
Right, sorry. Okay. Well, there's a heck of a lot more. You're going to have to come back.
I would love to come back.
We're going to have to drag you back in here because you don't have enough to do already. Her name is Sherry Hubbard, and she's my new best friend. And she's been the director of communications now since 2018. And you said earlier, on the wake of Hurricane Michael, you come barreling into town trying to take care of what this organization is doing and wants to do more of. So communicating is a big issue. Getting the word out is critical. If you had one thing to tell a company that is considering supporting what you guys do, what would you say? What's your pitch?
Well, I would say thank you so much for considering supporting us. The impact that your donation can have is critical to serving food insecure community here in Leon County and across the Big Bend. We, for every dollar that is donated to us, we buy food by the truckload, and I'm talking about tractor trucks. So our purchasing power is huge, and in combination with the national relationships we have through Feeding America, so we can stretch that dollar to really make an impact. You don't have to worry if you choose to donate to Second Harvest that you're going to make a tremendous impact, you know, feeding your neighbors.
Direct. Yeah, sure is. Yeah, that's a 1-to-4 ratio, if I'm not mistaken. So $10 buys $40, $100 buys $400 worth of food, man. And these days, yeah, groceries aren't going down in price, are they?
They certainly
are
not.
Yeah, four bags of groceries is $100. Folks, this is what we do here, and I'm glad you're a part of it. And Sherry, thank you for making it possible for us to learn more about what you're doing. Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And don't forget, folks, you can go to Tallahassee Food Challenge to learn more about what we're doing to get that word out for Sherry and for all of those who are devoted to this work. Sherry, thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for all that you do.
Absolutely. Folks, we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio right here in Tallahassee. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.